Smart Buildings Video Podcast for the week ending September 18th, 2016. This is where we have conversations about controls, smart controls, dumb controls, pneumatic controls, electric controls. We're just all into controls and smart buildings and technology. So thank you very much for tuning in. And right now, without further ado, let me introduce my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers with the future coming up Super Bowl champion. Sorry, John Donahue from Controls Consultants, but the Steelers look great. Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show. Big dog.
Frankie got me in trouble twice already, and I didn't even open my mouth.
That's what I do, man. That's how we roll.
Well, anyhow, John, I think New England's going to be very strong once they get Brady back. But yeah, the Steelers are looking good, but you know they haven't been tested. You know, this week will be interesting. They're playing Cincinnati, and Cincinnati is a tough team, and it's a rival. It's old school rivalry. You know,
that's the thing about week one. You never know whether your team's that good, or if the other team is just that bad. So you find out in week two and week three and all that good stuff. So, dude, I tell you what, I'm having trouble waking up this morning, man. I'm drinking my coffee here, so. Got to do that. So listen, wearing the swag, special shout out to our good friend Pat Marcella, M&M Controls. Pat was not at CGNA last week where Kenny and I were, Controls Group North America, but Paul Burke was, so it was good to see Paul and all our friends at Controls Group North America. Kenny, I mean, great organization, top distributors in the country. We'll put a link in the show notes, but you should definitely check out your CGNA distributor near you. We talked a lot about flame safety, flame safeguard controls. Most of these guys are Honeywell and FireEye flame safety controls, but they also are the top building automation controls distributors in the country. So it was a good conference, I thought. What did you think?
Well, it's an amazing event, and it gives you a lot of the, nuts and bolts stuff you need to take back. The sales, they had, maybe like 20 preferred vendor sales going on. So as we prepare for the heating season coming up, a lot of combustion stuff, the back rack, the testos, all the guys that are doing the hands, the combustion analyzers and all the handheld devices. So I think that's the categories they divide them into. But it was a great meeting. We had some great presentations. We had a great book given to us by
Mike Sackett.
This was a heck of a book. I got about 40 pages into it already. It's called The Ideal Team Player. And, now I'm a big fan of it. Now that I've been able to read it, of course, I'm putting a lot of that stuff to use immediately. And as I go around and talk to people, I really believe in that, that the circle theory can really work, because you have to have three important things to be a good team player. You have to have humility. You have to be humble. You have to be hungry. And you have to be smart. And that is the components that, somewhere in those overlaying circles, you get the team player in the middle that's might not be as hungry as somebody, but he's humble and he's a good, smart player. So he brings a lot to the table. Or the hungry guy that goes out and gets the sales, or the woman that actually, does a lot of the IoT discoveries and really brings some energy to the organization, but she's humble. So what you can do is you can quantify somebody using this theory here. So it's a great tool. And again, I think the periodic idea of going to a technically competent trade meeting is important. Like we talk about RealCom, we talk about Niagara, we talk about the two coming up here with Johnson's ABCS and also KMC's meeting. You get so much information that's critical, it's concise, so that if you're going to go to one or two meetings a year and somebody prepares this awesome meeting for you, you walk away enlightened, you walk away invigorated, you walk away with something new.
Or disappointing, Kenny, because I tried to read that book too, and unfortunately, I don't fit into any of those categories, so I can't be on anybody's team.
That's not true. I'll tell you what. That's just self-deprecation there.
Well, I tell you what. But the cool thing is, and I think what you're getting to as well, Kenny, is the one thing we're all struggling with, I think, as an industry and as individual companies, is attracting new people into the industry, right? So, at Control Trends, we have the Young Gun Awards where we're trying to bring younger people in. Ken Sinclair, automatedbuildings.com, he's all over that. And, Kenny, I tell you what, we might as well, we're probably going to have a little bit of a random conversation today, which are my favorite kind, which is probably why I'm not a good team player. We've got a new award we're going to be announcing at the Control Trends Awards, which we are just so excited about, because I think a really underlooked resource in our industry are the great women, right, that are just available. I mean, if you look at the women we have in our industry, people like Sarah Montaloni, Jenny Stent, over and over. I mean, the women we have in our industry are absolutely incredible. We just don't have enough of them. So we're hoping that this Control Trends Woman of the Year award will shine a little bit more attention on the great women and hopefully attract more women into the industry.
Well, yeah, I think that we are now, though, for what we thought was maybe a deficiency or a tendency to overlook things, we had kind of a resurgence of women taking over the premier spots. Jenny Stentz is a vice president, and she's in charge of the entire business section. The woman that we met from
Schneider. Hang on a second, Kenny. Speaking of Jenny Stentz, I think she wants to say something to you.
Right, hey, Kenny, controls guys do work. I've been out making some sales calls with the one, the only, Jenny Stentz from Johnson Controls. Say hi, Jenny.
Hi, Kenny.
How's it going? Hey, we're not telling you who we're talking to, but we'll just tell you we're rocking and rolling. But the one thing I can tell you, Jenny, is all the contractors in the know are going to be at the Johnson Controls Conference in
Nashville, Tennessee. So we got some spots left. We'd love to see you there. Come join us. We got a lot to share with you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, reach out in comments. Give us your name, your email, and we'll see if we can get you a special deal from Jenny. What do you say, Jenny? Should we play Let's Make a Deal today?
Let's make a deal.
Come to the conference. It's going to be cool. So be there or?
Be square.
There you go.
Let's hit some more customers.
Let's sweat into some people first. Yeah, let's go into insanity mode.
Hi, Jenny. Back at you. I can't wait. It's exciting, and you know, we were just talking about the leadership and the augmentation that the women are bringing to the HVAC world, and to attract more and more talent. And you know, it's all working out well. So thank you very much for your leadership.
Yeah, Kenny, I'm so pumped up that Johnson Controls Conference is going to be awesome. You and I are going to be there. We're going to be covering it. It's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. So that's going to be good stuff. And so we'll be there. It's going to be great. We've been to conferences in the past, JCI. Kenny, to you, what makes JCI conferences a little bit different?
Well, we also got to meet Chris Eichmann up at the CG&A meeting, and he went over what makes the ABCS Johnson Controls conferences different. Is they try to put themselves in the shoes of a distributor, and they try to bring a conference format together that's technical but not overly and only technical. They also bring a lot of business ideas out, and they share a lot of their philosophies on, again, retention, the next generation. The last meeting was incredible because you talk about learning some good things to know about how to run a business. They brought on a financial expert. They brought in they brought in people that were experts in particular fields that are very challenging for distributors. So it was very timely advice and they look at business and how they can promote a distributor's business to a greater level, how they can develop greater sales, how to maximize the marketing, how to select and retain qualified people. And just going over some of the other agendas, the main day Saturday starts out, they have a great keynote speaker, Clay Nestor. And we're talking about market trends in the sustainable buildings. And we're talking about Johnson's leadership in some of the new technologies. You know, they rerouted their business into two primary sections now. They have the buildings and batteries, and they have auto. So now that they can focus, I think Johnson, again, this is all about focusing for them. They took their channels and they realigned a two-step distribution channel. Instead of one guy being regional and have to deal with OEMs, branch, and distributors, now you just focus on distributors, and they go through these vertical markets from Canada down to Florida, and then Canada down to Texas, and then Canada down to California. And they just focus on two-step distribution and making that partner a better partner. So when they do that kind of focusing, now they're doing it with corporate. So they got rid of some of the business units that did not fall into their two primary business focuses, and again, automobiles and then buildings and batteries. But then you take the buildings and batteries, now you're focusing in on new technology. So they're going to be introducing some very exciting stuff to go into that race to the small space that we like to talk about, and battery. So we get more microgrid oriented as a country, as buildings become more and more DC oriented, and instead of taking AC, make it DC, or I'm sorry, DC to AC to DC, and some of the things we're doing now that's not as practical, and we're going to eliminate some of those those conversions, because everything inside the building is running on DC. Makes perfect sense to have a DC power supply. Makes perfect sense to have a battery that can give you that DC power that you need and sustain it.
Well, Kenny, and I think the thing about the conferences, too, that I love is, like I said, they really put the emphasis on how to make you as a better business person. So, you know, great, great, you know, breakout sessions and keynote speakers. You know, unfortunately, the last one I went to, I found out I was not a millennial and they think different than we do. But it was great information on how to motivate them. But then the product show, Johnson has such a wide product line. And their product show is not to be beat. I mean, whether you want to talk about chiller parts or you want to talk about DDC controls, their portfolio keeps getting bigger and they keep bundling in all kinds of new ways. So that's going to be a great conference. So Jenny, appreciate that. And I tell you what, Kenny, you know, sort of cycling back around. I mean, you know, Jenny's just one of the great women that you started to talk about that we have in our industry. And we got a couple of other really fantastic ones from Snyder Electric that will be coming on the show in the very near future. One of them is Stacy Kimball. Stacy is just a marketing person extraordinaire, and Snyder is putting together some great marketing stuff. She turned us on to a training resource that is not to be missed, but we're not going to talk about that today because she's going to come on and tell us about it. But let's just say Snyder has some of the best kept secrets in the industry. But our other one is a good friend you and I both talked to. Tell us about Gina Elliott a little bit.
Well, Gina Elliott is a very successful member of the HVAC community, but she's also very gregarious, and shared the concept of enlightening us as a predominantly male industry into some of the other fantastic players. For instance, she told us about Annette Clayton, who's the CEO and president of Schneider Electric, two business units. It's hard for me to break these acronyms down, but NAM and CSCO. But again, so what happened was, we hit a lightning bolt here. We followed the trends. We followed the females in HVAC. We put in several posts to that extent. We also published the vice president of marketing from Johnson Controls report on the status of our HVAC industry. As we know, if we're facing a chronic shortage of people, and we can't understand why we're the fastest growing industry in North America, and yet we're facing one of the most incredibly challenging personnel issues. We have read that in the year 2020, we're going to lose 60% of the people that are presently occupying important positions in the HVAC market, whether it's a sales engineer, customer support, facility manager, buildings and grounds, purchasing agents. All that expertise is maturing at an incredibly alarming, concise period of time, short period of time. So in 4 years, we need to replace about, 60% of the people presently holding position. So women are going to fill that niche.
Kenny, here's the thing. I've been reading a book by Walter Isaacson, who, is just a great biographer, but he's been writing a book on the innovators. And one of the things that I learned that I did not know is that all the programming was all done. The women learned how to do programming. They created it and they did it. The men focused on the first computers being electromechanical machines. So they focused on all that. But during the war and all, women like Grace Hopper and other people like that, they actually developed a concept of programming and loops and everything else. So, I mean, they started programming. I mean, we got to get them back. We got to get them back in our industry. So that's all there is to it. And sort of speaking of the Control Trends Awards, Kenny, we'd be a little bit remiss if we didn't sort of hit on our sponsors. So our sponsors this week for this episode of Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings Videocast and Podcast, episode 198, are Honeywell and a new sponsor. So Kenny, tell us about our two sponsors this week.
All right, Eric, our first sponsor is Honeywell, and everybody knows Honeywell, come on. But Honeywell's going through some interesting developments and changes. They've got, first of all, on the block board, they've got a release of the 3. Here, let me just get that up. But Honeywell releases Webb's Niagara 4 N4.1.27.20. So the N4.1.1 release, that is actually a post, but we must just go talking about it because I think Honeywell now is really responding to all the IoT challenges. All the partners in the channel have been very anxious to get a hold of the Webb's 8000, controllers, the new stuff, and emerge and migrate from the legacy AX units, the 300, 600, and 700 controllers, into the Webb's 8000, the N4 family, and then really and truly start to put together all this incredible packaged tooling that's it's in the Niagara 4 hardware and software. So now you're going to have, again, you're going to look at the IoT thing. So people want to see graphics, they want to see analytics, they want to see fault detection, they want to see all these things and not necessarily have one, two, three, four third-party players. Now, larger installations and larger, multiple location areas, and there's always going to be a need for greater graphics. There will always be somebody that's going to be dig deeper. But for the race to the small space and some of the areas we're talking about, this stuff has it all. This Webb's Niagara 4 has a potent hardware software platform that can handle just about any building solution requirement.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, our second sponsor, who I want you to tell us about, this is kind of cool. He found us through Control Trends, and this guy is a major league player, as Kenny will tell you. He's been sort of all over the controls industry. Has got a new program, a new product that they're going to be rolling out, I think at AHR. They've done a lot of research, a lot of beta testing on it. So we're going to get him on the show here in the very near future. But we're so appreciative of the fact he reached out to us, became a platinum sponsor. So Kenny, tell us about our new friend, and I think a guy who might be changing our industry.
Well, it's Steve Gazalimian from Optigy. Interesting stuff. This guy here does have one of those pedigree, backgrounds. I mean, he's got, I see over 20 years of experience, and he was always a top performer with Allerton. He was with, and so he ran one, oh, geez, he won a lot of awards when Allerton was bought by Honeywell. This guy was a major performer. So now he's CEO of Optigy. Now, Optigy is kind of new to me. I did do some research on it, and basically it's building management anywhere, anytime. So anytime, anywhere, Optigy, their Proton is the service that they provide. It's an interesting presentation of IoT. In other words, they do the nuts and bolts stuff you'd expect. They do all the things that you want with a building controller, but then, and they have, different size levels. So they do a small project solution set. Of course, goes into the next level where you go into the, you need the mobile connectivity solution sets, the connectivities, but they really focus on implementing the new, software. So they've got iOS friendly, Android, and they make it for the tenants and facility managers to measure, manage, and message within their organizations. So this thing just kind of adds another dimension to the granular stuff that we're all familiar with, whether, energy monitoring, controlling loops, chiller plants, boilers. But this takes it up into the contextualization level that when we talk about comfy and stuff like that. These things now are
I got something to tell you about your girlfriend Lindsay Baker in a minute, but listen real quick, because Kenny, I tell you what, you and I can't do this justice. I talked to Steve on the phone, and a couple of the bullet points that I got are the price points are going to blow you away. I think the thing that he was talking about was giving you all the cool stuff that you can get, but in a way that you can, as a non-programming guy, sort of be able to put this stuff together. Again, easy. He didn't tell me what the price point was, but he said that's a big emphasis for them. So I think we should just tell our audience that we're going to get Steve on the show, but it's impressive stuff. And Lindsay Baker.
Well, let me just summarize the thing, because I was almost done. The second part that they had after the Pro Lawn, or the first product done, it was a Araya Enterprise Management Software. So I just wanted to say that these guys have come up with a software as a service style tool that will do all the integration and unifying of building and these systems within a building to a single platform, but they'll also give you the building management, automated energy, data diagnostics, analytics, facility performance, and people management. So I just wanted to throw that in, because I didn't want to short sheet this presentation of our second sponsor.
Well, and speaking of Lindsay Baker, interesting stuff with Comfy. I know you're smiling because you like Lindsay. Lindsay's the bomb. She's awesome. But she's been on several panels that Ken has moderated at RealCom Ibicon. But early on, and for those who don't know, Comfy's kind of a cool concept, Kenny. I mean, you basically use your smartphone, and it's an app that goes on your phone, and it's really sort of brings in some of the best of social networking, because basically, you know, there are two buttons. You know, I'm comfy, I'm hot, I'm cold, right? And if you are too hot, for instance, you hit the button and it will give you like a little blast of cool air. And what they're finding is by giving the power back to the people, so to speak, they're finding that that people are actually using less energy. So early on, when they first came out, I had a project that somebody was interested in this, and it was very complicated. It was kind of cost prohibitive because essentially you had to go in and run, if I understood it correctly, a whole new network to make that happen. But I was talking to one of my key integrators this week, and he said, no, they've changed it now. They're able actually to work on, off of the existing BAS system, right? They just need a couple of points they can work with on. So I think that really bodes well for Compy and what they're up to. So good job, Lindsay Baker at Compy.
Well, yeah. Again, you talk about a female presence in an organization and getting the thing up and running and then leading it to a further success. Lindsay Baker has certainly done that. Yeah, Lindsay's intimidating. She's too smart. You know, she always,
Seems you got a video of all these girls behind you. What's that about, Kenny?
Well, this is the new, this is their latest, this is the Compy app.
This
is actually running and doing exactly what you said. See, the bottom line was, and I give both Lindsay Baker and Therese Sullivan credit for bringing the concept of contextualization and what that really meant into the forefront of our business, so we understand it. In other words, you know, Therese Sullivan, for instance, always said about the snowball and this different thing is, and if you had your smart device and you walk in somewhere, this thing's going to pick you up and say, hi Eric, shoes are on sale. You like those alligator shoes? Well, you know, here's a discount coupon. In other words, it knows who you are when you go to it. In baseball stadiums, they tried that out and it was very successful to give the person that wants a particular experience at the baseball stadium. So you want stats. So every time a batter comes up, the stats automatically come on your phone. Things that are just beyond, you know, your normal use of a phone. So when we understood contextualization and what that meant, Compy brought that contextualization into the building space and made every single person with a smart device a sensor. So not only did you get maximum zoning accuracy of exactly where people were and the occupancy levels that you could do CO2 and fresh air. I mean, you can just do so much when you know more about who's where. And then to get the feedback from them that, you know, do you want heat, cooling, or are you comfy? So that is just incredible feedback, because then when people get that response, it makes that placebic bubble break, you know, so they feel like they're really truly in touch with the building management system. And then they get that burst of 10 minutes of cooling. And they're comfy. And then what that does, then it reverses the psychology to them. So they become more and more interested in energy and energy conservation. They don't waste the energy. Once they're comfy, they shut it off. Because now
I think you're right on, Kenny, but did you just say placebic bubble?
Yeah.
That's a great word. That is a great word. I like that. Placebic bubble. I mean, it sounds like, I don't know. All right. But hey, listen, sort of talking about placebic bubbles. I can't even say the word, but I love that word, man. That's awesome. Our friends, Dan Flaherty and the crew at Distech, talk about a placebic bubble. As you know, they've been bought by Acuity Brands, which is one of the biggest lighting companies around. You know, and Kenny, another trend that we've been tracking a lot is the $330-$300 rule, right? If you can save on the operational expenses, that is much, much bigger than any energy savings you're probably ever going to get. The $300 being the operational expenses that you have to deal with, for the people. So if they can become more productive, then you're getting a huge, huge win there. So Dan was telling me that Acuity and Distech got this deal going, talking about your placebic, say
bubble.
It for me. I can say bubble. Say the first part of it.
Placebic.
You said the first part. Placebic. Placebic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Placebo. So I just.
I can say placebo.
I took the liberty there.
Placebic bubble. They were talking about a technology they're working with, because lighting obviously has a huge psychological effect, and lighting has different colors, right? You can have a cooler tent, which the light would have more of a blue glow. Okay, or you can have a warmer tint, which is more like a red or an orange glow. And believe it or not, the studies that have shown that if you have a warmer tinted light, you tend to be warmer. If you have a cooler tinted light or a blue color, you tend to be cooler. And they're talking about maybe putting, hopefully I'm not giving away a trade secret here, but if I am, I'm sorry, Dan. They're talking about, having a first stage. It's kind of like the Comfy app. So the first stage on Comfy would be, if you're too hot, all of a sudden the lights go to a bluer tint, right?
First stage of cooling and first stage of heating. It's awesome.
Yeah. Great idea. Yeah. So, Acuity, I think the sort of the marriage of Distech, Acuity, and our friend Eugene Mazza from DG Logic with the graphics and all that stuff is, it's going to be fascinating to see what they bundle together and come up with, right?
Well, it sure is. And I think, the firepower there, you talk about horsepower under the hood. And to me, an organization, these guys, when they do their presentations, and as we've known them, and now to see you take Dan Flaherty, you take Eugene Mazza, you take the president of Distech, and you put them together in a room. You say, guys, I want some improvements here. Where do I get my synergies? How do you guys, lead me to the next dimension or next level in building automation, building management?
The only thing that they're missing, I think, Kenny, and this gets back to our friend Josh Bradshaw out in Silicon Valley, is a guy like Josh Bradshaw, because I think the thing that a trend we're seeing anyway, Kenny, is I think that Silicon Valley and the folks out there are defining what people's expectation about a smart building should be. I mean, we put a video up a couple of weeks of a video that Intel had done about 3 years ago about the smart building. They're not thinking about it from a control standpoint necessarily, or even an energy saving standpoint, although those are benefits. They're thinking about it from a functionality standpoint, and these things that we're going to be doing are going to be dictated by out there. So if you're listening to a Acuity brand, you should look at a guy named Josh Bradshaw. He's a contributor on Control Trends. As a matter of fact, I think you got a video you were telling me about that he did earlier, but Josh, we call him the King of Silicon Valley, and we need to get him back on the show, Kenny. But
Well, I just revisit, we were talking about the firepower and the people, the intelligent people that you have in your organization. And DG Logic and Eugene Mazza, again, what Eugene did about 2 weeks ago was he clarified to us how it's not just working with buildings anymore. It's not just working with, saving on air conditioning and energy. And you mentioned the 330, 300. Eugene was telling us about the data. The data now is so incredibly powerful that we need to start thinking outside of our defined building management and building automation in the building envelope into how information flows in an organization. And if you can take that data and you could normalize it into a way to manage and process information effectively, you save an organization tremendous and tremendous amounts of money. Eugene was saying, like, with the lights and how they could measure the not just occupancy like we think and temperature like we think and humidity and CO2 and all the stuff that we're really familiar with, but now you can hand the business side, the marketing side, dwell times. You can tell them not just what doors the people are coming into the building and just basically the flows. You can actually pattern how many people go to the store entry and make a right out of it because they're right-handed or whatever. And then, but you can know where people are at. So that brings your building alive inside. So I'm just saying, when you get all these smart people together, they're taking something that we used to think they were really good at, and that was like data visualization and the importance of data, how colors affect our minds and how we're attracted to bright things and whatever. But now to take that and convert that information now into a business, into revenue generating information is something we're not talking about every day. Our building management people, us, we don't talk about that, but now we're getting in that conversation.
Well, and speaking of that, and again, Silicon Valley and the impact it has, I want to tell you a Google story I heard this week, okay? We are getting fiber optic cable here in Atlanta that's a super, super high speed. And I met a friend of mine that was one of the execs at one of the companies that lays that groundwork. And he was telling me the story about Google coming in several years back and going, they did a feasibility study on what it would take to do the high fiber. So two things. The first thing was that impressed me was what this gentleman told me was that Google's philosophy was, and their core belief was, everybody should have access to internet across the planet. So that's one of their underlying missions, okay? And then having the internet be better is another piece. So here's the story, and this is what I think is an industry we have to be aware of. The executive at Google goes, and at the time, they're not sure whether this is really going to catch on. He looks at this guy and he goes, $2 billion. Yeah, let's throw $2 billion at it and see what happens, see if it works. $2 billion on a concept that We'll see if it works. So what I'm just saying is the scale of that is going to have an impact on what we do with buildings, like it or not. Because as you know, Kenny, we've been tracking the Intels, the Apples, the Googles, the Amazon's even in it now with their purchase of Echobee, right?
They didn't purchase them. They just they funded them $30 million.
Funding with them, yeah, yeah,
yeah. $32 million. $32 million.
So I'm just saying it's something we really have to be, you know, pay attention to, be aware of. So again, if anybody out there is listening, our guy Josh Bradshaw, I think, is one of the guys that's really got his finger on the pulse of Silicon Valley. And Kenny, you were talking about a cool post he had. We didn't put it on Control Trends.
He's got like maybe 1,500 views already. I think he put it up this morning or late last night.
Can we put it on Control Trends for our audience to look at posthumously or whatever it's called? That's not as good a vocabulary word as what was the one you had? Placebic bubble.
Posthumously. Listen.
Does that mean he's going to be dead when people see it? I just meant after, this will be after the show, but people can go, let's put a link in the show notes. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we will. But the gist of it was, and there's two things that you hit on that I'm glad you said, because I love to bring in these little factoids that are associated with it, what we're doing here. But Josh had a thing called the smart clock post. He actually interviewed, it's a 5-minute interview video, and we'll put a link to it, where they just introduced the Harry Potter clock, where it's the closest thing to Harry Potter clock magic that you're going to see. The guy just started the business, so they went public, or they got CV or VC backing. But basically, it's a clock, and you think, what is such a big deal about a clock? Well, how about a smart clock? How about a clock that always has the kind of, the minute hour representation that we're familiar with the round silhouette, pretty as a Nest thermostat, pretty as a Lyric thermostat, pretty to look at. But this thing is just like perfectly right sized, but it's a man-machine interface. It's a display. It displays weather announcements. It displays alarms within the building. It displays music, or it plays music for you to be woken up to. It changes colors if there's any change of states. You can program this thing to track where your loved ones are around the world if you wanted to, because anything that you can put into your phone or anything you can track through the internet of things now can be displayed on a clock. So now clocks inside of buildings can become really part of a very significant part of the notification and the announcements. Imagine, if you're in a classroom and, something happens, a security incident occurs, the clock turns colors, puts a red, immediately notifying you that you're in a serious situation. They didn't even mention that, by the way. I look at that stuff from the security perspective, and I thought, what a great notification. Back in the old days when you were getting robbed in a bank and you couldn't talk, or you had a bad phone call, they used to have these sponge balls in the drawer, red sponge balls, and you just threw them out onto the middle of the floor, and that told everybody you were in a duressful situation. So it was like an excellent way to notify people. But checking your children, see when they come home, so you can get an alert of the occupancy, so you're limited by your ability to use technology to your advantage. So this thing is basically an interface device, but it's a clock. So everywhere where you think clocks are in buildings, in airports, wherever they're at now, they could become smart, and they become the next part of your contextualized world.
Well, absolutely. So and listen, Tony Fadell, my buddy at Apple, I'm just going to let you know right away, okay? Honeywell has already invented the clock thermostat. Because I know he's thinking about putting a thermostat in there and saying, Apple just invented the clock thermostat, right? Honeywell, I think, was the one who invented the clock thermostat. But you could put the thermostat in there, right? You could have the thermostat in there. And I mean, why not just have your temperature sensors and all your controls in there and become part of the building automation system, right?
Well, we're going to get Tony. One of these days, he's going to hear you somehow. He's going to come back, and he's going to bring.
We keep inviting him on the show. I tell
you
what,
the mighty hammer of Thor, and he's going to stomp on us.
You know what? That'd be great. We'd probably get more views if I'd welcome him just stomping me on. I'll take one for the team, Kenny. Think how many views we get on that. We'd be viral, Tony Fadell. Maybe he'd throw Nest thermostats at us or whatever. But
here's the second thing that you brought up that I think was really cool, because you were talking about Google and how they're investing in stuff. I read a report this morning that the drone sales in the United States, just the United States, is 2.4 million. The NASA and FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration or agency, decided they got to get something going here because they've got to work on a low altitude air traffic control system specifically for this drone industry. We all know that Amazon's predicting drone deliveries here in the very near future. And the final paragraph was that Google and Chipotle Mexican restaurant chains are now, today, this week, it's doing it, testing drone deliveries of burritos at Virginia Tech University. So the bottom line is that we talked about this. The first drones we saw were 4 years ago at the RealCom show, and we saw them blow off leaves off an air handler or a drain up by our air handler. We talked to Scott Cross 2 weeks ago, and he said that his customers now are using drone inspections to give reports to people, board of directors that don't want to climb up on ladders and actually view the shoddy state of equipment the shoddy state of affairs, their equipment, they're rusted away and whatever, because when they say, hey, we just bought that 8 years ago, it should still be good, but meanwhile back at the ranch, nobody took care of it. The flap was never put back on, or the vent, you know, was so clogged, and so things happened. But now, if you give them a visual accompaniment, like Automation Integrated said too, when they put that visual into a file that's now used in conjunction with a service report, it redefines the ability to tell people what their status is. So when they think they have this great piece of equipment out there, but meanwhile it's beat up, it's 10 years old. And you give them a picture or a video to accompany it, it really rings the bell, you know, of clarity. There's no question. But again, U.S. drone sales are just U.S. drone sales are 2.4 million. And there's
only, is that billion?
No, it's million. It's okay. It's million. But here's the deal is that there's only FAA says there's only 260,000 manned aircraft registered in the United States. So only 260,165 aircraft are registered, and drones now are going to be 2.2 million. The 9 months since the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, created a drone registration system, more than 550,000 unmanned aircraft have been registered with the agency. So we're talking about a rate of 2,000 per day, and we're going to see drones doing everything that we thought. We thought, the police department, every fire department is going to have a drone, because what would be a better way to go out and determine if it's a false alarm or a real alarm? You know, a drone immediately is dispatched, gives you a visual assessment if there's a fire or no fire, gives you back a thermal imprint, of what the temperatures are, so you can save a roll of a truck. Trucks now, they're charging. Yep. I think the going rate for a fire truck roll now is $1,000.
You can send a drone out and check it out. No, I think it's unreal. And here's a question for you, Kenny. I mean, we've all seen the movie RoboCop, right? I mean, how long is it going to be? I think drones will definitely be an accessory. Obviously, the military is already using them. I think they could definitely be an auxiliary police person type. Placebic police, type thing. But will they ever? I mean,
you just had to use that word, huh?
I can't get over that one, man. I'm going to go use that word with my wife. She'll think I'm smart, man. By the way, it's our anniversary today, baby. 5 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and I'm down here doing this, so I got to do some serious makeups here, because she's wondering why I'm talking to you versus, spending time with us on our anniversary. Is that dedication or what? But how long before, all of a sudden, you got a bank robber or something, and they're sending robots in there and drones. I'm getting a drone, by the way. That's the next thing I'm going to get. I'm going to get a drone, and I think I'm going to bring it. I'm going to go both to the Johnson Conference and the KMC Conference, and then to the Siemens Conference here in October. So we got three back-to-back-to-backs that hopefully we'll be getting footage on. But I'm going to get a drone, Kenny. I might just fly the drone up there for these things. But I think they're just cool. You got the cameras with them and everything. So I just think from a control trend standpoint, we'll have one hovering over you in Pittsburgh, right? So we'll get an aerial view of you sort of doing a thing. But, I think the drones is just part of the new technology. And speaking of new technology, Kenny, I've been endeavoring to get Rob Allen on the show. He said he'd come on. I finally got him up here on Skype. I can see him. So let's bring Rob Allen on. Rob works for Stromquist and Company. We call him Young Gun Rob Allen. He does a podcast. He does a video cast called 7 Minutes in Control. So if you go to Control Trends, you know a lot about Rob. So, hey, Rob, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Rob, whoa. Where are you? That's my office. What are you doing in my office?
I know, it's Saturday. I come up here and hang out on Saturdays.
In my office?
Yeah, I stand at the desk. I lay on the couch. What's the big deal?
Oh, so you must have gone out again Friday night. You hiding from your wife today?
What, I got those dark circles under my eyes or something? Hide from that woman? The greatest thing that ever happened to me? See how I do that?
That's why you're in sales, buddy. All right, man. Well, welcome to the show, Rob. We'll talk about the office a little later.
So glad to be here as usual. This is awesome stuff. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
I'm at the world-renowned Eric Standing Desk, and when you got this thing a year and a half or 2 years ago, I was positive that this was going to be like a 1 or 2 week thing, but every time I come in here, you're standing at this thing. Just start lowering, but then you got to have a chair. That's right. He's always standing. You go back up. And then the really cool thing is the disco lights and the mirror ball that drop from the ceiling. That's
All right, Rob, I understand that you have a new podcast coming out. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the Young Gun community, we're getting together. What are we, probably 10, 12 people strong now. And so we're going to start a podcast called Next Generation Innovation. We're going to drop it first week in October. Oh, my God, I just put a deadline out there for all the world to see. So now it's first week of October, we're gonna drop it. But I've got some great guys. Brad White, you know, my buddy Brad White from SES Consulting. He's super cool. He's kind of the yin to my yang. He's the super, super smart guy that kind of gets it all, understands the technology. I think instead of reading Golf Digest like I do, I think he reads, you know, Controls Weekly or whatever it is that's out there. So he's part of it. And then Jason Haupt from Hepta Systems. He is the Rob Allen Michael Bonner in one. He's the contractor up in Detroit. He's a fellow Canadian like Brad, but recently he just got his U.S. citizenship, and so he is really cool, and he's well connected, knows a lot of things. He was big at the RealCom conference, did some breakout sessions, so super happy to have him. And then Josh Felperin with Siemens, he's a manufacturer's rep. This guy, to me, is probably the pinnacle of what an outside sales rep should be or an account manager should be. This guy just understands customer service. He gets it. So he's going to help us a lot. So the format of the show is essentially I'll be the main host for most every episode. And then the other three guys are going to rotate in based on the guest that we have that day or the subject that we're going to talk about. And we've got so far Jason Briggs from J2 Innovations. He's agreed to come on, so he's going to be one of our first one. Dyron Dinsmore, he runs he's a property manager for the Bank of America Plaza down in Atlanta. That's the largest building in the Southeast that we've done a huge retrofit and access control and security integration with those guys. So he's going to talk about how that's going. We've got, we don't have this one confirmed yet, but we got a big guy out of Detroit that's going to be a lot of fun. Comfy's going to come on, just a whole bunch of people. So we've already got a few episodes shot, not shots, podcast. And that was our deal that we made, Eric, is that none more of that video editing. It takes way too long. So I don't envy you when you're doing that post-processing in the video. So the audio's takes maybe 25% of the time.
I got you. So Rob, yeah, let's talk about podcasts a little bit. Is that a Young Gun thing, or do you think people in general like podcasts? Why do you like podcasts?
You know, it surprises me on who does it. So Control Talk Now, I probably maybe watched Control Talk Now twice, three times. I don't think I've missed, but maybe 4 or 5 episodes since the inception. It's been a podcast. So I just like to pop it in the car when I know that I'll be somewhere. In the car for a little bit. It's just good to hear it. And I can throw in headphones. It's just for me, I can listen to it whenever I want. Sometimes it may take me 3-4 days to listen to one episode since you guys go so long. No, I'm just kidding. But it's cool. And it's neat. And so for me, I've always been a podcaster. Whatever the podcast listener, whatever you call that person, there's a lot of people that that's just kind of what I do. I don't listen to radio too much and I just do podcasts, so it's going to be great. You know, it's just neat. Like what we're starting here, the Control Trends Podcasting Network is going to be cool. You just launched your Control Trends People. Eric, you've done a lot of good things, dude, but this Control Trends People, to me, that's the legacy. That's the one that goes away. I listened to all three episodes in one day. I just couldn't stop. The one from Nino and Mike Marston and then Mark Petock, those were all super good. But like Nino, it's just the way that you guys engaged and talked and stuff like that. It's the personal life story of these guys and how they grew up. Who knew that, Nino was almost a professional soccer player and Mike Marston aspired to be one. And he's got, I don't know if we should talk about it, maybe go listen to the podcast, but he's got a jealous ex-girlfriend that makes for a pretty good story as well, too. So make sure you go listen to Mike Marston. That's a funny story, Mike, and thanks for sharing that. But, dude, I can't tell you enough, man, how awesome that is.
Hey, Rob, we got the Control Trends Awards coming up. You excited about that? We're going to have another Young Guns class.
Dude, I can't wait for the Control Trends Awards. I went to my first one a couple years ago, not really knowing what to expect, and then that one blew me away. And then last year at the Hard Rock was even better. Best show we've had, and we've already got some ideas. I need to figure out my budget for the Young Gun presentation. Me and Brad, we want to go all big. We want dancing women. We want things to fall from the sky. We need costumes. So if you get back to me on that, that'd be great. And I also need to fly in every Young Gun. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Rob. Kenny, note to self, no more Rob on Control Talk.
But the, it's just, God, what a lot of fun. And we're doing it at the Hard Rock in Vegas. It's just, God, it's going to be a blast. We're already working on it now. So, yeah. The Johnson Conference, I'm sorry, boys. If you're out there listening and you're not Johnson Controls, that's the one to look at and measure up to. Everybody does a great job, but Johnson really does an exceptional job to me because there's a lot of takeaways that I can use in my professional life and personal life outside of product knowledge and how this works and connects to this and whatever. They'll talk about business models and different opportunities to go look at stuff. And there's even, I think one year they bring an HR lady in to show you like how you could be liable in certain situations and stuff like that. But then they also do the fun stuff. You know, I think they usually play a little golf, whatever. It's going to be in Nashville. How can you not have fun in Nashville?
And then, KMC has their conference right after that. I mean, what are you hearing on the streets about KMC stuff?
So KMC, man, I'm telling you, with all the NFC stuff they have and the five Cs, they're a force to be reckoned with. I always say KMC is so cool because they think and act and you perceive them as this great big ship, but they're able to maneuver because they aren't just hundreds of thousands of people for a company, or thousands of people, I should say. But you can call up and talk to Eric or Mr. Newberry or any of those guys and say, hey, look, what about this? And you're a week away and it's getting done. So the product's great. Had a blast with those guys. I think we were in San Antonio last year. I think it's going to be in Chicago this year. It's going to be a lot of fun there in Chicago, man. You can't beat that. It's good stuff.
Awesome. So Young Gun, Rob Allen, man, thanks so much. Innovation Generation will be dropping later in next month.
Next Generation Innovation.
There you go. So, hey, Rob, look, man, be sure to lock up when you leave.
No, man, he said if I did this interview that we were going to swap off. Dude. Yeah, so you got to check this office out, man. It's cool stuff. So you got the crazy wall art over here. This thing lights up. I've never seen it light up, but apparently it does light up. And then so then you got this stuff over here. You need some stuff over there, Eric, actually. And then there's the incredible standing desk that Eric never sits down. It's true. This salt lamp, Eric, who got you this?
Rob, I think you got it to me, but I'm not sure about this, dude. I think you need to turn the camera off, man.
So that salt lamp lights up, but I think the light bulb broke. And the so look at the view, man. That's our inventory. Yeah, it's load shedding. So anyway, cool, man.
Good stuff from Young Gun Rob Allen. I got to get on him about being in my office. But hey, buddy, let's go fly a kite, baby. What about when? Tell me about the when.
Oh, no, Eric, it's just, we do the macro micro thing, and this is alternate. So we talk about a lot of good stuff, a lot of important products on a micro level, a lot of manufacturers putting out great stuff and solutions. But this is the government saying, hey, we're going to really take this offshore wind, prospect seriously. And they're going to invest billions of dollars on this. So it's located, they're going to put offshore wind, plants, I guess, because they're going to do both waves and wind. But they're located at a major coastal land center, so they provide long-distance transmission of electricity generation. It's just really cool. If you like, you know, talk about futuristic stuff that's going to be built in a neighborhood near you. If you live on the East Coast, 9 of them right off the East Coast. One of them's on Lake Erie. It's just a really neat post. So visit that one. That's cool. I think a very good, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And then I think our next three posts, you can go to the website and check those out. We had Honeywell releases the Webs in 4 software package release with new tools. Bolimo has a really cool damper actuator energy savings estimating tool, you know, which can really help you. Let's talk about a bit about that, Kenny, and the ramifications of getting your dampers right.
Well, you know, this is just, you know, basic school stuff here, where if you have hundreds of actuators and, you know, valve actuators and damper actuators inside of a building, you are sucking energy. You know, you're spending a lot of money on energies. But Bolimos have this incredible low power consumption feature that when you take this in a broad stroke and you take this across, you know, multiple floors and multiple, you know, floors of a building, you're talking about saving thousands of dollars a year. So they put a tool there, so you can actually put in there how many of these actuators you're using in a building, and they give you a competitor A, B, C, D alignment, because they've done the homework to tell you what they're going to cost you, so that if you need a final presentation tool to convince somebody what actuators to use, Bolimo makes a very credible case on downloading the damper actuator energy savings tool and use it as another component of a successful presentation.
So let me get this right. So you're saying that Bolimo actuators use less power than most other actuators?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Wow. So I would think this would be something consulting engineers would really sort of, grab onto. You got to put an actuator in there anyway. Bolimo actuators work really, really well. I mean, they're one of the best actuators out there. There are a lot of people who make great actuators, but at the end of the day, if theirs uses less power to do the same job, seems to me like that'd be a no-brainer.
Well, you know, Bolimo's on a roll again. You know, they do particular areas of our industry well as anybody out there. And they have, just increasingly improved things. Now they made a deal with Thermacon to become their, North America's, distributor and support partner. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Bolimo's going from being kind of a, one or two dimensional valve actuator component to a big time provider of a broadening or widening product portfolio that's going to take more. You see more and more orange in a building, especially if they partner with people that are going to make the sensors and the different components that tie everything together, you know, make everything smart, you know, use networkable devices. So they have smart components out there waiting for integration, and pretty clever stuff.
Good stuff. And speaking of clever stuff, our friends at KMC, platinum sponsor, both Bolimo and KMC are platinum sponsors for the Control Trends Awards. By the way, thank you very much. KMC is got block programming back in their control system. So there's a series of videos, if you like block programming, that they can walk you through on how to use that with their control. So it's good stuff there. I think I went right over our friend Pranay Prakash. Pranay, we have a excerpt of Pranay's speech at the summit talking about the Internet of Things and big data and iCloud and sort of how Tritium plays in that market. So definitely good stuff there, Kenny. Pranay is a very, very charismatic guy, very good speaker. So encourage you to check that out. And that brings us to one of my favorites. And I see you got this. You had this keyed up in the background. Can you get that tape recorder back up in the background again if you can on your background computer?
I got it right here. Ready for you to go, baby.
Yeah, hit the button so you can see this. This is cool stuff.
Hang on,
you got to start at the beginning, man.
Give me a chance.
You're going to start it over again. But while Kenny's setting that up, we are doing a thing called Control Talk Rewind, because we realize that not everybody likes to sit through an hour's worth of Control Talk every weekend. But we have fantastic interviews that happen. So
she's rolling out there. Yeah, there you go.
So we got a thing called Control Talk Rewind, where we're going to rewind some of the great interviews we had. And this particular one is with Jenny Stentz from Johnson Controls. You saw Jenny earlier.
Hi, Kenny.
Hi, Jenny. Can't wait to see you here on the ABCS conference. Yeah. Looking forward to meeting you.
Jenny is one of the greats in our industry, a lot of fun to hang out with, and great in front of a customer. So it was a good talk with Jenny. I mean, Kenny, she broke down everything from, from Johnson's acquisitions, from the Tyco acquisition, sort of how their role and their philosophy on working with customers now. And we get into a really interesting conversation on batteries and how that might affect buildings. I mean, you know, who knows, maybe one day. You know, we talk about the power wall that Elon Musk came out with. Basically, they use it in residences now, and it doesn't have a placebo effect at all. But it's
there you go.
But you're able to actually store energy in these power walls, right? So now the solar, I think one of the downsides to solar, you sort of use it or lose it. Now with these power walls, you can actually sell it. I mean, you can actually save it. You can use it or you can sell it through something like blockchains or Bitcoin. So you could be selling stuff to your neighbors and stuff like that. Well, Johnson, Kenny, as you know, is one of the most innovative, largest battery manufacturers in the world. And Jenny did not say this. You'll have to listen to this. But we talk about the possibility of a smart building being powered by a Johnson Controls battery.
Eric, these batteries, for instance, are not, you know, your car size batteries. These batteries are cupboard size, you know, wall, floor to ceiling sized. And the concept, you know, the more I grasp it, the more I see it's inevitable. It's not just something they're talking about. Johnson has made major corporate strides to get this thing down. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're working hand in hand with Tesla on that power wall, because this is the future. As we get more and more technologies, the footprint's getting smaller. In other words, the way Jenny explained it is you got the ceiling space or the roof space up there already. Why not putting some sort of sustainable energy means up there, whether it's solar or wind or whatever? You're generating locally microgridded power. And now where are you going to put it? It's obvious you're going to put it into a battery that Johnson makes down there at the most optimal location. And from there, feed all your building. So you have, like Ken St. Clair mentioned about the DC power coming through the ceiling, you know. And you know, so you got two or three technologies racing to that space. You've got, you know, power over Ethernet. You've got the people that believe that you're going to put a DC bus in a building now. And, you know, everything's come out of the ceiling. We're going to start seeing less and less wall sensors. We're going to see less disturbance on the walls. And it's all going to happen up in the light fixture somehow. And you know, so the ceiling space is going to become the new orientation point for technology. And to power that up, wouldn't it make sense to have a stable, you know, reliable and similar power supply? So 24 volts DC coming out of your basement, going into all your buses to power things up and to communicate with. So it's right. Crazy, but it's true.
My, how things have changed. Because now when you and I grew up and when our parents grew up, conventional wisdom was, if you're going to invest in the stock market, invest in the utilities, because we're always going to need power. And you know what I'm seeing, Kenny, with all this, if this comes to fruition, power companies and utilities as we know them today might not be a safe investment. So sell those power stocks now, maybe. And I'm not paid professional investment.
Don't blame me. No. Yeah. Well, listen, and also, you know, power, it's not just 24 volts DC. You know, there's different requirements and whatever. And I didn't want to oversimplify, but I'm just trying to really and truly, I think the direction is just being pointed to us, and it's incredible.
So as a distributor, let me get this right for our distributor listeners out there. So here are the product lines that you want to be adding to your portfolio of products. First, you want to be a distributor of drones, which Kenny and I are working on that. Drones, number one. Two, windmills, right? That, you know, you can put on buildings or homes, right?
Wind turbines, huh?
Wind turbines. Then you want to make sure you have the Tony Fadell clock thermostat.
No, we're going to go with a new one, I think.
And then finally, last but not least, you need to be distributing power walls and Johnson Controls batteries. Is that what our kids are going to be selling one day instead of controls?
Yep. If we're still able to sustain the business, yeah, it's going to be new technology all the way.
Well, it's going to be a new technology. And listen, Kenny, that sort of brings us to our final post, one near and dear to my heart. We had episode 4 of Control Trends People, Chris Farr from Automation Integrated. And I tell you what, Kenny, man, this is just so fascinating. Chris, you know, I have to listen to the podcast, but let's just say he survived hurricanes. He was a DJ. His story is a fascinating story, Kenny. Lots and lots of wisdom. You know, I think one of the things that makes people great is obviously their philosophies on life, their values, and to listen to Chris tell his story is both inspiring
and enlightening. So I encourage you to check that out. One of the things I've noticed about every episode, Kenny, is everybody's a little bit different from, you know, the wisdom of Nino DeCosmo and his life story, which is absolutely fascinating, to our friend Mark Petock talking about his time in New York City with the models and how he got into the industry, and Mike Marston. I'll give you one little tidbit there. Mike tells a story about being a young pup in the controls industry, going to the Middle East, where alcohol was illegal, and wound up one morning after drinking a lot of alcohol with a young lady he met, and she was trying to strangle him in the bathtub. So it's everything you can imagine. And so I encourage you. You
Mike,
can actually,
I had nothing to do with that, Mike.
You can act. Well, he tells the story. You know, Mike is just a fascinating guy. And
I love Mike. I got it, but it just, we're leading with our best cards, our aces and our kings and jacks.
No, I'm not leading with the kings and jacks. I'm leading with the deuces and the threes. I mean, the kings and jacks, you got to listen to the podcast, which, by the way, is available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio now. I'll put a link in the bottom so you can subscribe there. And you can also get the get these through Control Trends. We actually have a separate site for it called the Control Trends Podcast Network. But you can get it through the regular Control Trends site. You just click on the link. It'll take you right there. You can download it or just listen to it on your computer.
Well, the only thing about this thing that's not right yet, Eric, is we only have four of them up there. There's probably thousands of people out there that have really and truly, taken our industry from a lot of unbelievable starts. You know, we got to get the KMC folks up there and talk about the Cruder experience. We got to get in Honeywell. Honeywell is an incredible thing. I've got some history there that goes back, you know, in the 1890s. And Roger Rebeck was telling me how they have the Honeywell House. They have some sort of a event there every year. That would be a great one to get a hold of. So when you have, an industry of our dimensions so large and so big, representing 40 billion plus to worldwide markets, it's a shame we don't have a quicker way to assimilate all this information and get it going. So we're doing it one at a time, and I applaud your efforts, but we have an incredible cast of people that have gone before us and they're still working with us and to come. And so we pick the middle of the deck there, start documenting these people so that it spreads and people can feel the incredible magic of serendipity of life. But we need more people in our industry. And if we document more people and they find out how their dads and moms make a living, they're less likely to ignore that as a professional career.
Right. Well, right. And I think for me, Kenny, that most of what we do, we're really driven by one belief that we think that we've got some of the greatest people in the world in our industry. And we're both people. That's almost as bad as
placebo. People need people.
Placebo, what? But
Barbara Streisand. People need people.
And again, if you think about this, this is really sort of their life stories. When we sort of set this thing up, it's kind of their life stories, sort of up until they got into the building automation or the HVAC industry. And what we sort of go for is, and you can hear it in the interviews. We start off as a little bit. Sometimes can be a little bit. Like official, but sort of the feel of it is like, two guys having a beer at a bar, talking about their lives, what they really believe. And Kenny, the insights of, like I say, the philosophies and sort of their stories are all different and all fascinating. And we could have hundreds of thousands of these. And that's at the end of the day, that's the goal. We want to eventually chronicle everybody that's in our industry. I mean, we got to get to guys like George Thomas, right away, Don Cochran, Scott Cochran's dad is another one we've talked to. I mean, we want to capture his story. He's retired now, but he's one of the guys that when you and I were coming in the industry were, they were the leaders. So think about when we get that museum going, this will be a whole wall of those audio interviews, but you got to start someplace, you just start. So we're endeavoring to get those done. I've got three or four already recorded, but if you're interested, we'd love to hear your story. If you know somebody, we should have their story. It's a very painless process. We can do it remotely. You don't need any special equipment. I've got some software I can use where you basically, if you got a laptop, we can do this in about, 45 minutes to an hour. And if you listen to these things, I think you'll agree with me that it's something that's important. And it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Hey, Kenny, let me ask you a serious question. Is there any chance we could get Tony Fadell to come on Control Trends, people?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no too. Well, there you go. We have another week of Control Talk now. Your Smart Plenty's videocast and podcast for the week ending September 18th, 2016. He is the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers. And I'm his sidekick, Eric Stromquist. So thank you so much for tuning in. Special thanks to Rob Allen, our young gun, and our two sponsors this week. So we will see you next week. But until then, be bold and stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers. What do we do now?
You need to go romance your wife there. Get a babysitter and go start early. Don't wait till late. Don't start at like 8 o'clock and go out. Go out at 5.
I think she's going to be upset that I don't have her present.
I don't even want to hear that. I can't believe you don't.
Well, I came down and I put on the radio, "Happy Anniversary, Baby." That'll get me something, right? That's right before she threw a coffee cup at me when she found I was going to record the show with you.
As thoughtful as you are and as ahead of the game as you are in so many, you know, dimensions, how could you be deficit in this most critical of dimensions?
I don't know, dude. I don't know, man. Jeez.
I'm going to have to start working on you like a week in advance, and you have to show me this is what you bought.
What if I gave her a selfie stick? You think she'd like the selfie stick?
That'd be something she could hit you with. No, we better not use that.
That's why I'm glad I got you, Kenny. Because this, dude, I don't know what to get her though, man. What do you get to the woman who has everything?
Anything else? I'll tell you
Hang on, hang on a second. What can we do?
These clocks we just talked about.
Is there anything that we could do that would have like a placebo effect?